Let the band play.
Baby, lately I've been going crazy lately. Yeah, I've been getting paper. Made a whole end without a motherfucking major label. Yeah, that like clock, you major. I just set a new set of poles on a new
stuff. Alrighty, welcome back to the Future of NFT Podcast, the most efficient and realest podcast in the NFT world. I'm your host, Jared. Today, we're going to jump right back into it on some NFT convictions. I had to take a light little break, a little step back, a little macro outlook, a little refresh, right? I'm still always, no matter what, always ear to the streets, looking at what's going on in the NFT space, what's going on just, not even necessarily just NFTs, just what's going on in tech, right? The digital world, what is happening? I'm always looking at that. So even if I'm not recording an episode, I'm still always tuned in and tapped in, I guess you could say. So, yeah, I just had to take a light little, I guess we can be fancy, a light little hiatus, right, from recording, but I feel refreshed, my brain's rewired, reprogrammed, I guess you could say, and I'm ready to go, but it's always good to just take a step back, to kind of see what's going on, look at other stuff, right? I learned how to fucking play chess. That is something I never in a billion years thought I would ever learn how to play chess. I know that might sound crazy to some, but I just never thought. Like, I always thought that was a gigabrain activity. Like, I thought you had to have an IQ of at least 500 to even fucking step on the chess playing field. but I guess, again, I was completely wrong. Like, chess is fucking fun. Like, I always just thought it was too complicated to learn, or I don't even know. I don't know. Either way, shout out to Danny and Cade. My friends came over. We got a chessboard, and they put me on chess, and I was obsessed. I was literally being annoying to them. Like, I just kept on wanting to play fucking games of chess. Of course, I got my ass whooped every single time. But, again, those are just my first few games. But I'm determined, like, that's the thing. It's like a, what do you call it? Like, it's one of those, it's just one of those things, like, okay, now I want to be a fucking chess champ. Like, I know that sounds so stupid. Like, whoa, hold on, you just learned how to play, like, slow down. But it's like, I just love it. It's so strategical. Like, chess is just sick. So I used to like shit on it before because I just never knew how to play, right? but now I fucking love chess. Like, I'm ready to play chess at all times, ready to go, like ready to move my pawns. You see, little chess lingo. But anyway, enough of that. I learned how to play chess. So yes, that was fucking sick. But let's go ahead and get straight into it. So I'm always looking at NFT shit, just what's going on, what are people saying, right? And it still to this day blows my mind. It blows my mind that people that I think are, quote, business savvy, right, are people that I deem smart or intelligent, or people that I just think like, oh yes, they understand this because this is just business. They understand this. This is just, NFTs are just, it's just contracts. That's all it is, just contracts, right? So it's interesting to still see people just absolutely just shit on it, right? And again, we have to be self-aware. Me, Jared, I'm mainly talking to myself. I have to be self-aware because some of these things irk me. Like, why does that irk me that Joe Schmo doesn't get NFTs? Or why does it irk me that Joe Schmo is shitting on NFTs? And 100% of the time, it's always... It's not that Joe Schmo is shitting on NFTs. They are shitting on NFTs. But it's also that Joe Schmo just, again, the lack of education. That's it. Point blank period. I've talked about this a billion times. But it's always the lack of education on their end. And it is what it is, right? But me, like, I'll read a headline, right? Or not even a headline. I'll read a tweet, right? And, like, I read one recently that was like, damn, I'm so glad I never messed with NFTs. Like, I knew they were always a scam. Like, I always knew it was a scam, right? And that tweet was quoted from a headline, right? So basically, they're reading a headline. Their headline reads, this is just an example. I've mentioned this before too. Justin Bieber bought his Bored Ape for $1.2 million or whatever, $2 million, whatever the fuck, right? Justin Bieber bought his Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? now what is it worth? And it's like, it says like $60 or like just something, something just whatever, right? And so it's worth, he bought it for 1.2, now it's worth 60,000 or whatever, right? So again, obviously looking at the headline, you're like, fuck, you're just like, what a dumbass, right? Like he bought something for 2.whatever million in the hype, right? He thought this was going to take off, dumbass. Now it's worth 50,000. Like, yeah, how was it buying that Bored Ape, you idiot, right? Like, right? Me, I'm just being stupid. But like, right? Like that's what they're thinking. That's literally what they're thinking. And so like, I understand where they're coming from, right? But again, it's just the lack of education, end of story, right? So they'll say, they read the headline, Justin Bieber bought it for X, now it's worth Y, and it's significantly less, he's stupid, right? So it's like, then they quote tweet, oh, I knew, I'm so glad I didn't do NFTs, because I knew they were just a scam, right? And I read something like that, and it just, it shouldn't, again, I know it shouldn't, I know I should just scroll through like nothing, but it's just interesting, because I'm just like, wow, dude, like that, I wish I could, and I'm so confident, I'm so confident that if this person was to sit down in front of me, and I was to explain to them NFTs and all the different use cases, what you can do for not only branding, but it's a fucking digital wallet, like, again, I could go on and on and on and on, right, but it's just interesting, like, just to see that, right? It's just interesting just to see that. And you still have to understand that that is where people's, their frame of mind, not everybody, right? But a lot of, majority, definitely 80%, that is where their mind is at. Their mind is at, like, yeah, it was just a fad. Like, it was just a thing that came and went, right? And I guess it's crypto winter, I guess you could call it. So I guess it went, but not necessarily. And again, just back to that Bored Ape thing, like that headline is completely false. Justin Bieber bought his Bored Ape at whatever, 2 million. And they're saying now it's worth 60,000. So again, obviously people that are into NFTs, people that listen to NFT or like listen to NFT podcasts or just whatever. If you have been listening to this podcast, you know exactly what that means. You know exactly what that means. You understand, you know that it's not worth 60,000. That's just the floor price, right? That's just what, right now, if you wanted to go buy a Bored Ape Yacht Club, the floor price would be like 60,000 or whatever the fuck it is right now, right? So that's what they're basing it off of. Does that mean that the exact Bored Ape that Justin Bieber bought is worth 60,000? No. That's just the floor price of all the Bored Apes. That's like an entry-level Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? To take it a step further, the one that he did buy isn't necessarily one that has good traits, right? That like would be considered one that's super rare, right? But again, that's not here nor there, or whatever the fuck, right? The actual fact is now it's Justin Bieber's Bored Ape, right? Justin Bieber is a huge figure, right? Everyone knows Justin Bieber, right? Baby, baby, right? So like everybody knows Justin Bieber, like everyone knows him, right? So it's the next guy that, I don't think that Justin Bieber is going to sell his Bored Ape, right? But the next guy that owns his Bored Ape, right? It's forever on the blockchain forever, right? If he ever sells his Bored Ape. It's literally like buying Michael Jordan's house. I just saw that recently. His house was for sale, I think. It's like buying Michael Jordan's house, right? It doesn't necessarily make it more money that it's Michael Jordan's house. Not necessarily, but some other guy might pay well over because it is Michael Jordan's house, right? So again, it's the same thing with a Bored Ape, right? So if you have a brand or you have, or just you want to become a public figure or whatever the fuck, right? And you end up buying this Bored Ape forever on the blockchain, you'll know where this Bored Ape came from. It came from Justin Bieber's wallet. It was Justin Bieber's Bored Ape. Whatever. This is just a scenario I'm just throwing out there and creating, right? But like, again, this can go for a bunch of different shit. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and just leave it there, right? End of story there. So I see all these non-convictions, right? And again, I'm not trying to sit here and convince and like that, right? But let me just show you my convictions, right? So then I go over and I read, Snoop Dogg launches ice cream line fronted by his Dr. Bombay Bored Ape NFT. So this relates 100%. I'm going to connect it back, I promise. So Snoop Dogg, everyone knows Snoop Dogg, right? Everyone, like Snoop Dogg, he's a popular figure. He's obviously older rapper. He still raps, I'm pretty sure. But he's a cultural figure in like the hip hop scene, like just old California East. Like, just stop. Like, everyone knows Snoop Dogg, right? D-O-double-G, come on. And so basically, he has products, right? He has a wine in Walmart. He has one other product. Fuck, I don't even know what it is. But I know he has one other product. So basically, he's coming out with his ice cream line, right? On the front of his ice cream, it's Dr. Bombay, which is a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT, right? So that's what he named it, Dr. Bombay, right? So, oh, it's his cereal line. He also sells cereal. Sorry about that. So Snoop Dogg, right? Big cultural figure, right? He already has products in Walmart. He's now releasing a ice cream that will have a Bored Ape, right? A Bored Ape on the front of the ice cream. They have like 7 different flavors, I believe. So this is going to be in Walmarts across, like 3,500 Walmarts, right? Across the U.S. So cool. What does that mean? So what that means is, does that mean that somebody's going to go to the ice cream aisle, see Snoop Dogg's ice cream with a Bored Ape, and immediately know what a Bored Ape Yacht Club is and want to go buy one? Fuck no, that's not what that means. That's not what that means at all, right? But we have to think about subconscious. That's all this shit is. That's all it is. That's all it will ever be. And that's all I will always be talking about is the deep, deep subconscious. That's it, right? So when you go in, and let's just say this flavor, one of the ice creams pops off, right? It's such a good flavor, blah, blah, blah. Even if it doesn't, it's still subconscious. That is digging into culture, right? So now people can go buy this ice cream without eating. They just see this Bored Ape. They don't even know it's an NFT, right? They don't even know maybe it's connected to Snoop Dogg, right? They could not, right? It either way, my point is that they're still seeing this Bored Ape Yacht Club, right? And there's so many other brands, Happy Dad, right, with their Bored Ape, putting it on front of their banana flavor, right, as an example. There's so many other just different things. Like, another example, right, even if it's not Bored Ape, think about Mr. Beast, who owns CryptoPunks, right, CryptoPunks NFTs. Mr. Beast has his Feastables, right, his Feastables chocolates, right? Think about Lil Yachty, right, with his pizza. Lil Yachty's a rapper. He has a pizza line at Walmart. I've bought his pizza at Walmart, right? What about Logan Paul? I'm mentioning all these names. I don't give a shit if you like them or not or whatever. That's not the point at all. Logan Paul with his Prime drink, right? Logan Paul owns some CryptoPunks, just as an example. So basically, all these different things are going to get, they're getting rooted into the culture, right? And again, I've said this since day one, right? The 40-year-old, 50-year-old right now is not the decision maker of what is cool at the moment at all, right? It's the 15 to 25-year-olds 100%. They are the age range that deems what is cool for culture at the moment. 100%. And that's every generation. So yes, when you were fucking 23 or 17 or whatever, there was shit that you did. There was something cool that was going on, right? I remember with me, there was Silly Bands. I don't know if you remember Silly Bands. It was like little animals that you wore around your wrist. That's just an example. That was super cool. Everybody had to have fucking Silly Bands. Think about the I Love Boobies. That was 100% a thing. I Love Boobies bracelet, right? Everybody had an I Love Boobies bracelet. That was a huge thing. Like, just all these different things. I think now they had like the fucking... like a recent one is a, like the poppets, like little kids play with the little poppets, right? Whatever. Those are going viral and blah, 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 whatever. I'm bringing this up because it's these creators, right, are going to be the ones. And these, again, the kids, the 15 to 25 year olds are what is going to be, are going to be the ones determining what is cool next, right? And it's just not so far-fetched that all this shit is going to come into fruition, right? Like, that it's going to, one day, little Jimmy is going to be fucking eating his little ice cream, Dr. Bombay ice cream. And he's like, oh, what is this? He sees it on cereal. He sees it on ice cream. He sees it in the, wherever, like literally wherever, on clothes, fucking anything, right? So I think to me, that is so, it's just so important. So, excuse me, I actually want to read this. Fans will also notice that my sidekick, this is from Snoop Dogg, Dr. Bombay, right? The Bored Ape Yacht Club that he's putting on front of the ice cream, is the name, face, and persona of this brand. That's because he's like a son to me. This is what Snoop Dogg said. He said, and you always want your kids to be more successful than you are. That's my goal in building this lifestyle brand, starting with ice cream, right? So that is fucking interesting. That is, and like, again, let me highlight that last part. My goal in building this lifestyle brand, right? That's what he said. That's how he ended it, right? His persona, the name, face, and persona of this brand, right? So it's not Snoop Dogg's face on the front. It's this Bored Ape Yacht Club on the front of this ice cream. And again, I know this shit might seem like just so left field. Like, wait, how does this? It all correlates 100%. It's culture. All it is is just culture. That's why I brought up the whole Mr. Beast, the Lil Yachty, the Logan Paul. Like, again, there's probably more people that have, there's more YouTubers and shit that have, are going to have products coming out, right? And as we've seen, these products do very well. These products do very fucking well. You can go ask a kid. I've talked about this before. Prime, a little Prime drink, that went mega viral. Every kid, one of my nephews, yeah, we have fucking Prime. Like, it's so cool. It's so cool to have Prime. And I'm like, interesting. I'm like, do you know who Logan Paul is? They're like, who? Like, some kids might know who Logan Paul is. Some might not at all. But what's my point there? You don't have to, like, these creators are making the brands bigger than them, right? So Snoop Dogg is making Dr. Bombay, right? He's going to put them on a bunch of different shit. I guarantee you. I know he had, different cannabis strains in fucking, in California. And Dr. Bombay was on the package. I went to California. I went to the cookies dispensary. And I literally saw Bored Ape Yacht Club on, like, three different packages of weed. Just random three different flavors. Insane shit. But we will see more and more of that 100%, no ifs, ands, or buts, right? So this is another thing that I thought was super interesting. Ducati, right? Ducati is a huge brand, right? Room, bikes, like motorcycles, like, right? So Ducati delves into Web3, prepares to launch first NFT collection, right? So Ducati, a renowned motorcycle manufacturer established in 1926, is set to enter the world of Web3 by launching its first ever digital collectibles on the XRP ledger. The firm believes this step is essential to strengthen its relationship with its global community. Ducati claims the digital collectible will consist of a video sequence of Ducati logos on tanks of motorcycles manufactured from 1946 to date. This NFT collection is set to go live on the XRP ledger on July 26th, 2023. So I thought that was interesting, right? Cool. Ducati getting into NFTs. Cool. And actually, I didn't even say this. I got to preface this. For all this shit, I genuinely right now, Jared talking right now, I don't give a shit about NFTs. I don't give a shit about AI, crypto, none of that. Like, genuinely, I'm being so real. I don't give a shit about any of it. Like, I'm not like a crypto boy or fanboy or NFT dude or none of that shit. I'm none of that shit. I just understand this shit is the future. You have to look into it. It's just it. It's the culture. It's just it. It's going to be a part. It's going to be so relevant of our culture in the future. No ifs, ands, or buts, right? I like to make that statement because people like know that I do this podcast and they're like, oh, he's a crypto guy. I'm like, I'm not a crypto guy at all, bro. I can't tell you shit about crypto. I know a little bit, but like, I just think it's interesting. I know it's the future. We can talk about, he's an NFT guy. I'm not an NFT guy, bro. I just understand that it is the future. Like, I'm down to talk to you, but I'm not real. Like, if you like, whatever, like if you hate NFTs, whatever, like, I don't give a fuck, right? Like, it's just interesting to me. But anyway, I always like to preface that. So anyway, the CEO of Ducati, Claudia, I'm not even going to pronounce her last name, I'll slaughter it. She said, entering Web 3.0, is another way to get closer to the Ducati community by further extending the number of services offered to them. It also represents an opportunity to meet and make ourselves known to a new community of NFT enthusiasts. giving them the opportunity to live unique Ducati-style experiences and collect the digital assets that we will develop exclusively for this new dimension of the brand. Let me say that one more time. Exclusively for this new dimension of the brand. That is so key. This new dimension of the brand. And what does that mean? That's the digital dimension, right? Every single brand in the world, big or small, will have to do this, right? Because again, if we think about brands and branding, right? And if you're a brand, big, huge brand, or if you're the smallest brand in the world, right? Big or small, doesn't matter. As a brand, you want people to bleed your brand 100%, right? So obviously we understand that people communicate via purchases, right? So what they buy, right? As an example, hats, sweaters, right? Shirts, glasses, socks, right? So this is important, right? So if people communicate via purchases, right? Brands want you to wear, like I'll use Ducati as an example, right? Ducati wants you to wear a Ducati hat around. And you don't even necessarily have to buy a Ducati, right? Just as long as you like Ducatis, right? Just, again, if you bought a Ducati, you probably have a hat or you probably have a shirt or something, right? Or recently, something I've seen, guys with Porsches, right? I just talked to this guy at a little, I did a little wine tasting and he had a little Porsche logo on his chest. So I just asked him like, hey man, I see you have that Porsche logo. Like you into cars, like you own a Porsche, you pull up, do you skirt your Porsche over here? Like, right, just being stupid, right? He's like, yeah, da da da. And we just started talking about Porsche, right? So it's not that he actively woke up and said, I want to be a Porsche enthusiast today, right? It's just he has a Porsche, right? He got it somewhere along his life, right? And he just fucking wears his Porsche shirt, right? So people always communicate, right? So basically, going back to my original point, Ducati wants you to wear a hat, right? Even if you bought one or not, right? They want you to wear a sweater. They want you to wear a shirt. If you have glasses that have Ducati, they love that, right? They want you to bleed their brand, everything, right? Let's take it a step further. Think about even like a sticker on your laptop. People communicate. I have stickers on my laptop right now. People communicate with even something as simple as the sticker that they have on their laptop. If you are a brand, you want your brand on all of this shit. On socks, right? Fucking everything. I can go on and on and on. You want your brand on everything, right? So what is the next dimension of the brand, right? Like Claudia from Ducati said, right? That's digital. It's the digital extension, right? So think about it. And I'm not even talking about NFTs yet. I haven't even got there yet. What I'm talking about is something even as simple as putting your background on Facebook, right? Or Instagram, or there's no backgrounds on Instagram, but like on Twitter, right? Putting your background as a Ducati, right? That's a digital extension of the brand, right? So that's another way that you could represent. So whenever people go to your profile, they see, oh, this guy fucking has a Ducati in the back. Maybe he owns a Ducati. Maybe he likes Ducati. Maybe he likes motorcycles, whatever the fuck. So even your PFP, I've fucking seen guys that have a fucking Lamborghini on their profile picture. Again, we can go on and on with examples, but you understand what I'm talking about. So of course, Ducati is going to reach the Web3 audience. Of course, they're going to go more digital. Everybody, I brought this up because, again, every brand, again, big or small, will be reaching their most loyal customers, and maybe not even, but they will do it digitally, right, through social, whatever, of course, which we've already seen, but they will always take it a step further, and NFTs will 100% be a part of that, right? As everybody owns digital wallets, which they will in the future, they just don't know yet, maybe. They want a Ducati NFT sitting in your wallet, right? For, again, just any brand. Like, you want your, like, if I have a brand right now, if I have a shoe company, I'm just making this shit up right now, a shoe company. It's called Jared Shoes, right? I want my brand and my shoe in everybody's, as many wallets as I can. I want everybody to have my NFT. It's just marketing and branding for me 100%. So when somebody scrolls through the wallet, they say, what the fuck is this? What is this floating shoe? It looks pretty cool. Let me check this, right? That's marketing. Now it's up to the customer, right? Or the person looking at the NFT, if they want to look further, like, oh, this shit is actually cool. I actually want some of these shoes or whatever the fuck, right? I think you understand what I'm saying. So I just thought that that was, that's fucking, that's just mind blowing to me, right? So one thing that I also wanted to touch on was this Ducati NFT is going to be on the XRP ledger, right? The XRP ledger is a public decentralized blockchain designed by Ripple, the company behind the XRP token. Indeed, XRP ledger is not the most popular choice amongst enthusiasts regarding non-fungible tokens. However, the blockchain has been experiencing significant activity recently, with more than 1 million non-fungible tokens minted in the first quarter of 2023. So that's cool, right? If you've been listening to this podcast, you understand my conviction on the Ethereum blockchain, right? Because some of the best collectibles, i.e. CryptoPunks, right? They will be a legendary status symbol, 100%, 100%. So I just believe the Ethereum blockchain is going to be the premium blockchain, the Louis Vuitton of the blockchains. Again, I always will say this, could be totally wrong. People could not give a fuck about the blockchain, which I totally understand. I understand how you could move from this blockchain to this blockchain. I totally get it. I understand. At this very point, if someone in the wild, if a wild Joe Schmo came up to me and showed me an NFT, I would ask him, maybe not the first question, right? Because I wouldn't want to offend him, but I would say, hey man, like, well, I'm just curious, like, what blockchain is it on? And dude, if he said, it's on Cardano or some stupid ass blockchain, like, like, if he just said some stupid ass blockchain, bro, I would just be like, oh, cool. Like, that's cool. It, like, just wouldn't weigh as heavy. Again, I gotta say this. This is just me, Jared, right? The next guy couldn't give a fuck less, and it's cool or whatever, cool. But just me, Jared, I'm judging you. I'm fucking judging your NFT. I'm judging your NFT. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, again, just in my eyes, Ethereum is a premium blockchain. I just want my shit on Ethereum, and that's just how it is as of right now. That could change. That could change 100%. My whole perspective could, on that specific thing, could change 100%. I'm open to that as well. But that's just as of right now. I would actually be like curious, like, oh, like, what blockchain is your NFT on? Oh, it's on some stupid ass blockchain. Cool. anyway. That shit is just nuts. It's nuts to me. It's crazy conviction to me. Even if it seems like it's a fucking winter storm or a crypto winter, whatever the fuck they say, it's still fucking nuts. And let me just bring this last thing up. Stan Lee, right? He created Spider-Man, Hulk, Iron Man. He passed away, but this other comic, like, I don't even know what it is, to be honest. Like, I think they also do, like, collectibles. Excuse me. They also do collectibles. They released, like, a Stan Lee NFT, basically. 8,000 of them, and they sold out fast. They sold out super fast. Super fast. So, I guess while digital collectibles are, I guess, quote, slowing down, or they've been kind of slow, my conviction is still there, like, to the max. Like, to the max, to the max, to the max. Like, I don't see any, I just, again, I don't know if it could happen in 6 months to a year. It could happen. And that's also an interesting thought, is like, it might not even, it's not, like, we always say, like, these numbers, oh, in 1 year it'll happen. But what the fuck, what does that even mean? What will happen? Like, what does that even mean? Like, what will happen, right? And I don't think it's necessarily in 2 years, 3 years. I think over time it just gets more and more. I think for sure there's going to be one point that accelerates it, right? Like COVID, right? As an example, 100%. Like, this is just straight up facts. COVID 100% accelerated the whole NFT, digital space, cryptocurrency, 100%. You can't deny that, right? Everybody was indoors. People were more digital. You can't deny that, right? So I don't know. I'm not saying that COVID part two is going to be I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying any, I don't know, right? I have convictions on what I think might be the next reason that there's a bull run or more people pay attention or whatever. I think it might be gaming, right? That's just a thought. That could be completely wrong. It could be something with purchasing, right? Like, think about if a company, like, just any random payment processing company did something big and you got rewards back and or whatever the fuck. Like, it could be literally anything, right? It's, as long as it's like a headline and a normie reads it and they're like, oh, that's cool, let me look into that, right? And more normies are like, oh shit, this is sick, or did you know if you did this then you could,
I make all the shit up on the spot. But if you're following along, like, I'm pretty sure you know what I'm saying. Like, there's a fucking plethora of things that could happen that could accelerate all this shit, right? And to the same extent, it's like, I don't necessarily, like, the only reason that you would want something like this to happen quickly is because maybe you think you're going to flip something quick and you're going to get some money and, like, whatever the fuck, right? And I've never been that. Like, again, if you listen to this podcast, you know I've never been a flipper. I flipped an NFT before and made a little bit of money. Nothing, like, I don't teach people how to flip and how to find the next quick cash flip or none of that shit, right? My shit has always been stay down with the technology. Again, if you don't have an existing business or something like that, right? Like, this is just a new and refreshing way to think about going about your business forward, like moving forward, basically. If you already have an existing business, it could be, how could I integrate Web3 shit? And maybe your business just doesn't need integration from Web3. That's another thought. It's like, maybe it just doesn't, right? But again, if you're a brand and you want other people to see your brand, there's different options. There's different, like, you know, there's just different things that you could do. But to me, it's just always about, it's going to be the technology, right? It's not, most people, the big misconceptions with NFTs is it's a quick flip. It's a quick little fucking, you know, right? Number go up, right? Like, it's, that's how it is for most people. And that's, there's always going to be those people in the NFT scene. But again, the real ones, AKA people that listen to this podcast, they know what the fuck is up, right? It's, again, you stay down with the technology, you learn the technology, and the sky is literally the fucking limit on what you can create. Like, there's nobody telling you no. You have to pave the way for this shit. You have to think about ideas that are just completely out of the world. And that sounds like stupid or whatever the fuck, whatever you think it sounds like, that's just the reality. It's like, this shit is all new. There's no one, you can't really look at anybody. Like, you have to be the one that paves the way. And people will follow along and look at you and be like, oh shit, they did this and this and that, right? That's just the way I view it. So with whatever I create, I'm going to be the one paving the way. I'm not looking at fucking whoever the fuck and saying, oh, I want to be like them in the NFT. Like, there's no one like that. Like, there's no one that I can get ideas. It's always good to get different ideas from different creators, different people in the space or whatever. But it's you. It's ultimately you. You're going to be the one that creates the shit. You're the one that is going to make it big or not. You're going to proceed. And that's basically it. It's always up to you. It's always up to you. But that is the end of today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed this one. Again, please share this episode with your aunt, your uncle, grandma, right? Cousin, like whoever, right? Whoever you think would enjoy this episode. If this episode was a piece of shit episode, do not share it. Don't fucking share it, because I don't want them to hear a piece of shit episode, right? but if you like it, of course, share it. But as always, please reach out to me on Instagram at futureofnft. On Twitter at THEEJARROD. And if you want to leave a voice message, the link is in the show notes. Alternatively, my email is down there. So if you want to email, I will email you back. DMs are a little bit different. I always go back and forth in DMs, but email, if you really want to talk, again, email is going to be the best place. And again, my email is flooded, right? It's flooded with fucking bullshit a lot of the times, but a lot of times it's also really good companies and shit just like, oh, hey, look at this, or what do you think about that? Whatever the fuck, right? To the same extent, I fucking love hearing from the kid in, again, I always say this, I love hearing from the kid in Kentucky who just learned about NFTs and he wants to know how to integrate NFTs or what he can look at, where he can learn, right? Like, that, I love that shit. I love, like, the little fucking, the scrappiness. I love the scrappiness of it. So, again, if you're a fucking, or, dude, you could be a grandma in fucking Utah right now. If you just come across this episode and you want to do some shit for grandmas with NFTs, fucking email me, and I promise we will do some shit. 100%. 100%. And there's no payment wall. I'm not going to send me your credit card info before. None of that shit. None of that shit. I just, again, I like to talk to people. I like to collaborate. When you reach out to me, I actually learn from you 100%, because I got to hear everything you're talking about. What are you saying? Why are you saying this? Why are you not saying this or whatever? So you learn from me, I learn from you, and it's the most perfect combo. So I'll actually wrap up this episode. But again, reach out. Don't be scared. Don't be scared at all. But that is the end of today's episode. I really hope you're enjoying your week from all around the world. I will see you on the next one. Peace. Yeah, I'm a 90s baby. Lately, I've been going crazy. I've been going crazy lately. I've been going crazy.